Get ready for a journey into the heart of Bridgeport politics with In Absentia, a new podcast from Connecticut Public's investigative team, The Accountability Project. Learn about the city's past and present political dysfunction and the systems that enable it. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.
Funding provided by Joe Zimmel and Valerie Friedman.
Support comes from Foodworks Natural Market, your local full-service organic and natural food store, offering health and wellness programs and a variety of vegan and vegetarian selections. Located in Guilford, Old Saybrook, and Cheshire, information at food-works.org. Faith here with a welcome toast. It was Jane Grigson who said, "In my experience, clever food is not appreciated at Christmas. It makes the little ones cry and the old ones nervous." Please feel free to consume this show podcast in small bites or eat the whole thing.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
It's great to have you joining the party on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, inviting you to eat, drink, and be merry. Here's what we have. What a show this is. I can't wait to talk about these things. We've got a Christmas Hanukkah margarita. We have a punch margarita for the holidays. We have the most amazing chef, Anna Sortoon, who is in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and has these bakeries. She is a rock star, this woman. These Middle Eastern ingredients in her food. So if you want to throw an international twist in things, we all say to each other when we taste her food, whether it's salads or desserts or savory, unbelievable stuff. And all kind. We're going to talk about baking for the holidays. We're going to talk about things to make. I just can't wait to do this with you. My treasured food buddies are here. Senior contributors Chris Brosberry of Simsbury, Alex Province of Hartford, and our bartender on the show, Anthony DeSario. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Cannot wait.
All right. In unison.
Wait a minute. We're not done. Robin Doyon Aiken is our senior producer and also a participant on this show.
Driving
hey,
the
Robin.
Bus.
Driving the bus.
Driving the bus in the background. Okay, here we go. You know, it's just too much fun to pass by this margarita thing. So we've got two ways to do this for a crowd as a punch or pitcher drink. And we're going to tell you how to do that punch in the most attractive way so people will be dazzled when they see it. Let's start with the individual cocktails. Alex Province has brought these. This is on our website, foodschmooze.org, along with all the recipes we're talking about on the show. Alex, you've got a margarita done with red salt, with green salt, and with blue salt for Hanukkah, and it's just wonderful. So, okay, tell us how you did it.
It couldn't be easier. So I took kosher salt, and I added a few drops of food safe food coloring, and then
Where'd you get the food safe food coloring?
At the grocery store. It's in the spice aisle.
Is it a paste or a liquid?
They're liquid. Little, you know, they come in four colors.
Yep. And you mixed the salt in there with
a couple drops? Poured the salt into a bowl, added three or four drops, just mixed it together. It dissolves really quickly. And then I poured it into a Ziploc bag and did, Anthony, as you call it, the shake and bake.
Yeah.
You know? And it's so easy. So it costs, you know, like maybe 25 cents to make these colors. And you can add as much or as little as you want. I ended up making them more vibrant so that they stand up on the glass.
So what you've done is a blood orange margarita. It has an alcohol in it that we love and we have just discovered on the show from a maker so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
If you like Campari, this is St. George. And these people do these kind of handcrafted Campari-like bitter alcohols, aperitifs. And this is in the most gorgeously designed bottle. Mm. It's called Bruto Americano. You will start to see this in bars everywhere. We love this stuff. The taste of it is astonishing. You know, it's like a million herbal things in there that they want.
A little soda before dinner with that.
Oh,
right?
Phenomenal. Bruto Americano.
It's like Campari on steroids.
Yeah. It's American.
Yeah, and it's American.
Hey,
it's California.
Local. Yeah.
And this company, I love what they do. Every time they come out with something, it is unlike anything else. Okay. So go ahead.
So blood oranges are just coming out. So we were thinking, let's somehow incorporate blood orange. And then bitters and oranges go well together. Like that bitter orange flavor is just a great combo. And thinking it's a margarita, so let's use tequila. And I used, you know, a silver tequila, but you can use whatever one you have at home that you like. And finding blood oranges, they're just coming into season now. So now's the time to go and grab them. You know, they're beautiful. So we used the Americano for a bitter component. We used Salerno, which is this beautiful blood orange liqueur that's from Italy. And it's the Sanguinillo.
So you use oranges. Two of those.
Mm, the Salerno is a little sweet, right?
Yeah, so the Salerno is like a blood orange triple sec or a blood orange Cointreau.
So it replaced the simple syrup in a margarita. Ooh. So in a shaker filled with ice, we added a fresh lime that we squeezed. In this case, we used Christmas oranges, which is a Satsuma mandarin. You know, I just thought
those aren't always around. So
no,
you could
they're like blood oranges. Use that or Christmas oranges, but they're the ones with the pretty leaves on them that you can still find piled up at the grocery store. So those all go into a shaker, shake. And I throw in the lime as well, the used up peel into the shaker as well, and it just gives it more flavor. And then I just rim the glass with a little lime juice. So I take the lime and I just the shell of it and I just rimmed it, and then I roll it in the colorful salt. So I did the green one, the red, and those go great together.
And then you pour it in your...
And then carefully pour in. And I love these like old Mexican glasses with the air bubbles in them, and it just looks so rustic.
They look like that recycled handcrafted glass.
They are. Yep, they are.
Let me tell you something. Anthony, would you back me up on this? If there's something you don't happen to have, then just think about it. Yeah, say, look, I don't have this or that, but I've got an orange in my refrigerator.
Fresh squeezed orange, sure.
Yeah, I don't have the Salerno, but I have the Bruto Americano or vice versa. Okay, maybe it won't be as complex and absolutely gorgeous as this is, but it'll be quite good. Don't stress.
No, never stress. There's no wrong way to make a cocktail as long as it tastes good in the end.
It's about the balance. So if you make one, put a little bit in the glass first, taste it, and if it's not to your liking and you need a little more sweet or a little more alcohol, a little more bitter, then you can just keep adjusting it, like almost like the mad scientist over the shaker, and then you just shake it up again and pour it in the glass.
That's what we did in our little... studio where we're cooking and trying things. That's what we did. We were tasting these and said, what about this? What about that? These guys are so terrific at their cocktail making, Alex and Anthony DeSerio. I think these are winners. If you go to our website, foodschmooze.org, these are blood orange margaritas for Christmas and Hanukkah. You'll see one with blue salt for Hanukkah. You'll see one with red and green salt for Christmas. And they are absolutely delicious.
You know, Faith, I was just thinking, if you're going to make these for a Christmas party or holiday party, I would cut back on the tequila maybe and just use more fruit juice. It's better, I think, to make them slightly weaker than too strong.
Depends on the party.
Well, you know, I'm just, I think this way you can have one or two and not feel it as much.
Because often people are, I agree with this philosophy, you're sitting down to dinner. For people who don't have alcohol, they're not going to have any alcohol. And I would encourage you to try to do an equivalent without alcohol, using juices that replicate what we're talking about. You know, we don't care whether there's alcohol or not on your table. In the end, we happen to all on this show drink alcohol. If you don't, there is a way to combine juices and herbs, sparkling water in a way that makes a lovely festive drink. So I'm a fan of the lighter alcohol before the meal, because in my home, people are going to be having wines or sparkling wines with the meal. So we don't want to overload people. But whatever you think, just do what you would like to do. Yeah. Anyway, Alex Province, fantastic job on these cocktails.
And like we did talk about a little earlier, too, you know, ice is nice. Ice can be your friend, too. If you want to do a low ABV cocktail, add a little more ice to your drink so it does water down as your guests are sipping it.
ABV meaning alcohol by volume. Yep. So, Anthony, we've talked about this a lot on the show, that the ice is your friend. I like that you say that. Let it water down. So whatever you want to do, you could always add a little splash of sparkling water in this.
That's what I like to do.
Lower the alcohol. It's almost like a spritz.
Yeah.
Okay. And I want to tell you that as we open the next segment in just a little while, we want to go to Anthony DeSerio, our chief cocktail maker, because he's going to tell you how to do a punch for the holidays. And this is a Negroni margarita with a block of ice that has gorgeous things frozen in it. Imagine people coming in. So I love the style on today's show. You guys did an absolutely great job.
Thank you.
So we'll get to that in just a second. Okay, as the holiday comes and people are going to parties, what's your strategy for eating at these parties? I try and taste a little bit of everything without going crazy and then start focusing on the meeting people at the thing. What do you have a strategy?
Yeah. Eat salad all week.
No, I'll eat a little bit before I go.
I was going to say the same thing.
Oh.
I eat a little bit before I go. Not a huge meal, but just eat something before you go. That way when you get to the party and the first thing you do is get a drink, right? And that activates, you get hungry, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden you want to eat. So I eat a little bit before I go. Then there's something in my stomach. You get to the party, they hand you a cocktail like this. Yeah. You already have something in your stomach, right? So you're not going to, at least for me, I'm not going to overeat. And then you just sort of pick.
And the alcohol's not going to have the same effect because you've got something in your stomach.
Yeah, you're not drinking on an empty stomach.
In England, they call this a soaker.
Yep.
There you go.
You go out to eat before you go on the drink.
But there's so many good foods at these parties, though, that you only get to eat one. I hate the sensation of getting in your car driving home and being like, why didn't I eat that?
I go to parties hungry. I go hungry.
I've eaten for the week.
Yes, that host has gone through a lot of effort, and I want to make sure that I can tell her or him that what they made was delicious and that I loved it and that the effort was really worth it.
Okay, so the saint among us.
And I just like to eat.
And she's very thin. I don't know how she does that. Okay, so... depending on what your strategy is, you can either eat before the party or not and use the party as dinner, as many people do. Uh-huh. Where has the cocktail party gone, by the way?
My house.
Yeah, it's all at Alex's house, probably.
I love the cocktail party. Yeah. I don't know where that went.
I haven't been to one in a long time.
People dressed think up in nice clothes?
Well, I don't care. You know, people can do whatever they want, I guess.
I love the fancy ones.
Yeah.
Most places I go when I'm invited, it's wine. Right? Very rarely am I ever offered a cocktail.
So simplicity. I'm doing that loosely. I mean is, what happened to people just coming over for drinks
and little
hors d'oeuvres?
Nauseous. Wow.
It used to be, it's like everybody's parents and grandparents.
Yeah.
I just think it's a fantastic
way. So what would you say? Come over at 7 and for a cocktail and people leave at 8?
No. So usually cocktail will be on a weekend and it would be more 5 o'clock.
Okay. Oh, so before dinner.
Alex, what you're talking about is happy hour.
Yes.
Half off drinks.
You should know that, Alex.
weekend happy hour at your friend's house.
You know, 5 o'clock.
So before
people
dinner.
Come over. Yes. And then people probably have left your house by 7 o'clock, and they're either going home or going out for dinner. And that's how it goes.
I love it.
It's really the most lovely thing.
I've done similar but the party doesn't end. Like, you meet at a friend's house that you're going to dinner with.
Yes.
And you have a cocktail before you go, or you have a glass of wine with them and some little bites before you actually go out to dinner.
Yeah, that's economical.
Instead of meeting at the restaurant, you meet at a friend's house, you have a glass of wine or an aperitif, you have a couple little bites, and then you go and
The younger generation has dubbed that pre-gaming.
Pre-gaming. I like that.
Pre-gaming.
Yeah. I like the pre-games.
We're going to pre-game at Alex's house before we go out downtown New Haven or something like
that. That's a great phrase. So we used to call that the progressive dinner party because it really is moving from one person's house to the next
for every
single course.
Yeah.
And it sort of sounds fun, but it's pretty nutty. On the other hand, you get to move in between courses, and that's really great for your body.
But you have to all be neighbors, all right? So you can get to their
house.
You can drive over to somebody's house, park your car, and then it begins. But in terms of, walking from house to house, that's much better.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Really, really fun.
Yeah, if you look at a lot of those old 70 houses, especially in like my neighborhood where I grew up, a lot of them have old bars in the basement.
Yeah.
They have the in-home, like, full, you know, 4 or 5 seat bar with everything in there, because that was part of the culture back then. Is you had those cocktail parties and you built a room just for that.
One of the houses I grew up in was in the greater Hartford region, and this was a ranch house. And in the basement, we had exactly what you were describing, Anthony. There was a bar, the full basement, and my sister's husband at the time was a jazz musician, worked in an insurance company by day, and at night he was a xylophone player. And so the other musicians would come over, and they would practice. There would be cocktails at the bar, and then they had these electric cigarettes.
Oh my God.
That would glow in the dark. The butt end, you know, of the cigarette would glow in the dark, and it would be part of their act to put these cigarettes in. I will never forget this.
Well,
it was
that
so
sounds amazing.
It was Rat Pack.
Yeah.
You know, it was just unbelievable. Okay, so we're coming up. We're going to talk about Anthony DeSerio's holiday punch, whether it's Christmas or Hanukkah, this beautiful punch with this ice block that you make in a loaf pan in your freezer, and you load it with slices of things. And it looks so gorgeous. You don't have to stand there individually, make cocktails. You do the ladle and you put it in people's glasses.
Okay.
And
like
this
that.
Is a Negroni margarita. It is, just like Alex's, it is absolutely delicious. So proud on this show to have these. And we're going to talk about more holiday things. We want to tell you that we are soon to have our recipes up for the holidays. We've made, these are Food Schmooze originals, and they involve beef tenderloin
puff
and
pastry.
Provence.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and puff pastry.
And puff pastry that you get in the supermarket. They are absolutely phenomenal. I'm so excited about them this year. So our website holds everything, foodschmooze.org. And of course, you know, in our third segment, we've got Anna Sortoun, a Middle Eastern specialist, a rock star in Greater Boston and around the country, has won so many awards for her restaurants and bakeries. And we've got Middle Eastern flavors to give you an international spin on what you do. More mouthwatering conversation and fun ahead on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. I hope, I really do hope, you'll make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry. We're online now at foodschmooze.org, and we'll be right back.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread.
Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight.
Beans.
Cornbread said, now that's all right.
Beans.
Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night.
Uh-huh. I'm Faith Middleton. You can get a podcast of the show, meaning we send the show to you so it appears in your inbox and you just click on it and you can listen whenever you want. It's the way that so many people are listening now, so you can listen on your schedule if you don't happen to be in the car when the show is airing on WNPR. All you do is sign up for it once on our site and that's it. We take care of it from there. Go to foodschmooze.org and you'll notice when you're there that you can discover our delicious curated food, wine, cocktail recommendations, our events. We love talking with you, so we hope you'll stop by often and say hi. We are always online at foodschmooze.org. And we're on Facebook talking with you. I know I'm talking with you. And that's Faith Middleton Food Schmooze on Facebook. I'm with, of course, my treasured food buddies, Chris Prosperi, chef and co-owner of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, wine broker Alex Province of Hartford, our chief cocktail guy, Anthony DeSerio. He's behind the bar at the moment at Carson's on Whitfield in Guilford.
Cocktails this evening.
Right. Hey, you know, we have these volunteer associate producers who are in charge of getting the recipes to you when you go online for them. Paula Pierce and Jason Black. We thank them so much. So much of public broadcasting works with the help of our volunteers. So we thank the two of them. You're going to later hear from a rock star in the food world, Anna Sortoun, who has got restaurants and bakeries in Boston, has won the James Beard Award. She's amazing. We'll get to that. Right now, we want to go to Anthony DeSerio, our cocktail guy, because he has made a margarita Negroni punch. If you're having a crowd for the holidays, we're going to tell you how to do it for Hanukkah or Christmas. We've got a little twist with the decorating to make it suit the holiday that you're hosting. Anthony, first of all, I'm going to have a sip because it's so good.
Go ahead. I had a few sips myself. What I did is I combined a margarita and a Negroni together, taking the lime juice out and adding the grapefruit in.
Why do you think they go together?
Grapefruit and tequila go fantastic together.
Yeah.
yeah. guys. That's one of my favorite cocktails
Me
alone
too.
Is called the Paloma.
Yep.
So we've basically taken a Paloma and we've added the beautiful St. George Bruto liqueur to it.
Okay.
So your guests are arriving. It's great for the holidays, whether it's Hanukkah, whether it's Christmas Eve, whether it's Christmas Day. And you want to make
New
something
Year's.
Easy. At New Year's Eve, too. You have so much going on. You're baking,
so
you're hosting
delicious.
A party. There's so much going on. So just get your big punch bowl, make a great big punch for everybody all at once. So when your guests arrive, they just ladle it out into their glasses and it's good to go. So
visually something impactful.
Simple.
Let's say
impactful.
What,
so,
what do you hear what he does
so,
with this ice?
So we took a Patron Reposado tequila. You can use any Reposado tequila or any tequila you like. I always recommend 100% Blue Weber Agave tequila.
Yeah, for sure.
We did some agave syrup, St. George Bruto liqueur, a pomegranate liqueur, fresh grapefruit juice, and top it off before your guests arrive with either an inexpensive Prosecco or Cava. To keep it nice.
Cava's going to be less expensive.
Less expensive.
That's the Spanish
That's
version
the Spanish
of
version,
Prosecco.
Basically.
I adore it.
Yes.
It's going to be usually either the equivalent or quite a bit less, because you could use, say, a brand like Segura Viudas,
sure.
which is about $8 or $9 a bottle.
Yep. Just adds a little effervescence to it. It makes it a little sparkling. If you could also add just like some sparkling water to it if you want to just kind of bring it down. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. People always ask me, how do I keep my punch cold? Some people add ice cubes, and the ice cubes start diluting the water,
yeah,
diluting it down, and it doesn't last.
Halfway
yeah.
through the party, you've got to, like, get your ice bag
yeah.
and dump
and,
it back
and
in
the,
there.
And the more you add as the night goes on, you're watering your punch down, yeah. and it's
maybe
loses
not
your
a bad thing. Cut,
not a bad thing as the night goes on, but it's also, like we said, ice is your friend.
It can be
it
a
can
style
be.
Object, right? Yeah. I love the way you treat this. So, what, a loaf pan?
Yeah, it's just like a regular, like, bread loaf pan or, like, you know, like your meatloaf pan, or you could even use just the punch bowl you're going to be using and just fill like maybe the half of it with water. But take a loaf pan, fill it halfway with water, and then fill it with some seasonal, what looks seasonal ingredients. You could use mint and pomegranate seeds. I used craisins.
For Hanukkah, what I think would be lovely is chopped mint and slices,
yeah, little
of,
slices of
clementines.
Sure.
You know, I think that would be just
yeah.
beautiful.
Yeah, maybe a couple blueberries in there.
A few blueberries for the blue yeah. of Hanukkah. Throw it in the water.
Yeah,
in
throw
the
that
loaf
in the
pan.
Water into the loaf pan and then freeze it overnight. And
Anthony,
then
when, were you using like boiled water to make it clear?
That actually does
make
work much better, yes. And it also will freeze faster too. Hot water will freeze faster as well.
Wow, didn't know that.
Oh.
Freeze it overnight, and then when you take it out, you assemble your punch in the bowl, and then you just turn the loaf pan over and add a little hot water to the back of the pan so it releases, and you have this nice big block of ice.
Gorgeous.
That has all of these festive colors in it.
The reason we like bigger ice cubes now in our drinks, especially a thing like scotch, where
oh, yes.
it's a golf
yeah.
ball ice
golf
cube.
Balls
or softball.
2-inch ice cubes.
Yeah. Besides just looking great, these larger cubes don't melt as fast. And so they cool things down without watering them
exactly.
down too much. So
exactly.
what Anthony's got going here is a huge block of ice,
that's
and it's
the
gorgeous.
Centerpiece.
Okay.
I like that.
You could yep. put flowers in this thing.
Edible flowers.
You know,
yeah.
you could put orchids.
Oh, that
you could
would
put,
be great.
Anything you like, and all year round, too. Any theme that you're having, you know, if you're having like a bridal shower or something, there's a specific flower, throw those in and freeze them. Big
as long
ice
as they're
block
edible.
In there.
I was going
to
say, make sure they're not poisonous.
Yes.
But okay.
Great idea.
Yeah.
So the ingredients for this Margarita Negroni, you'll hear us talking about Bruto Americano.
Yes.
It
yeah.
is made in California in a handcrafted artisanal way. So gorgeous in drinks with soda water.
Yeah. It's got, buy just for that.
As the alternate.
Or a little Cava. Little Prosecco, little Bruto Americano.
Yeah. Kind of make almost Aperol spritz.
People
but
walk
a lot
in the
bolder.
Door, you have a tray of them. You know,
and I'm telling you, put this bottle out.
And people won't
because
know,
the label
right?
is dazzling. Bars are going to have this everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just, we tell you all about this at our website, how to make this Negroni Margarita, yep. which is a gorgeous. Anthony, yeah, gorgeous
great introductory
combination.
Cocktail. Gets yeah. everybody nice and hungry.
It's a
the
punch.
Bruto gets you nice and dry, so
it's
it gets
a punch.
You salivating.
And if it's cocktails only and hors d'oeuvres, and this is perfect for that too.
Yeah, I like it.
Really nice. Okay, here we go. Let's do some homemade gifts for the holidays.
Love
I've
it.
Got one about how to make your own homemade vanilla just using vodka and vanilla beans.
Wow.
Chris, you guys at the restaurant you folks, I should say, have decided to all make holiday gifts. So what are you making?
Brian, my chef, is making his own hot sauce. He started this summer by getting hot peppers from the farm and grilling them and peeling them and putting them in vinegar. Wow. We have 5-6 gallons of it been sitting in the fridge since this summer. And now he's testing the recipe and he's got it perfected where he purees it and makes an amazing hot sauce.
Love that idea.
Last year, Hannah, one of my girls, did beef jerky. She did four different flavors. Took her a while to get it. She did some experimenting, and we have a huge dehydrator thing. And she made the most amazing beef jerky.
We don't have
little
dehydrators.
You can use it in the oven. Yeah. Use the oven on the lowest temperature. Sure.
Low-fat meat.
Yeah,
right?
And oh my gosh, her beef jerky marinates. She did a teriyaki.
Seriously?
She did a sweet
I would love
black
that
pepper.
As a gift.
That was really good. Okay. I made sauerkraut. And I made a special one for Christmas presents. I made a sauerkraut, and in the batch of sauerkraut, I layered Scotch bonnet peppers. And this sauerkraut came out so amazing. I'm bummed I didn't make like 10 gallons of it because it's not so hot you can't eat it. It's almost fruity from the flavor of the Scotch bonnet peppers with just the nice amount of heat. How about salted caramel?
Oh, that's good.
All right. So I have all these things for jars, like vinegars, herb oils. I can buy a case of lemons.
It's easy,
slice
right?
them thin, and I can make people preserve lemons, and they're always hard to find in the store.
You want organic lemons?
Yeah, I did. I bought a case of organic lemons, and I sliced them thin, and I have them all set to go.
Goes in olive oil?
Where do ordinary
people? No, just salt.
Oh. Where do ordinary people get a case of organic lemons?
I don't know where you'd get a case. I guess you'd go to like Whole Foods and ask them if you can buy a case. And it's just salted lemons.
What about the Hartford Market?
Yeah, sure
in the
could.
Early morning. Could you go get a case of lemons?
Totally.
Absolutely.
And then on a mandolin, you slice them nice and thin. You layer them with a little salt. And then you press them down. You put a lid on them. You throw them in the fridge. And this is the thing. It takes a few days or a week in there to actually, you know.
You're buying jars and stuff?
See, this is where I need your help. Because we've got all these things. Brian did a great job finding a jar for the hot sauce, and we've done some mason jars. So how do we take an ordinary mason jar or a jar we buy online and make it like festive?
Fabric and ribbon.
Really? Is that okay? So tell us what we do.
Burlap and ribbons, and you know, linens, and anything rustic.
Checkered tablecloth.
Yeah, the
tablecloth. Yeah,
for the peppers would be great. But I mean, just go to a fabric store, buy a whole bunch of scraps. You don't even need a lot. Some scissors and cool ribbons, and tie stuff up.
And I think the label is really so much fun. Easily done on a computer.
Yeah.
You Brian know, made a fun a label
gift
for
from
his hot sauce.
Or some kind of
what do you
fun
call it?
He called, slogan.
He called it Colon because his name is Cole. Colon hot sauce because it is really hot. But his buddies that he's making it for really love spicy hot sauce.
Look, if you feel like the things we're talking about, we don't have enough time to age it as long as you know it says on the recipe, you can easily put it on your label on your computer.
Sure.
You know, this will be ready on January, whatever.
Wow, that's a great
idea. I've certainly gotten that from people who've made homemade wine.
Start early, too. Do things like the caramel. It's the easiest thing. And I even use your trick, which I learned from you, I don't even know how many years ago now. And all you do is take a can of that milk.
Condensed milk.
You throw it in a pot of water and you cook it.
Sweetened condensed milk?
You don't open it.
You don't open it.
You don't
put a hole in it. You don't do anything. Just take it
and put it in a pot of boiling water.
But you don't do it like rolling boil,
simmer.
Right? Because
you just simmer it.
So here's the thing. You simmer it in water. This is not original to me. This is Dr. Bruce Anderson, my brother-in-law, who is an Eagle Scout. When he would go on these scouting trips, this is what they would do to make caramel. And we just stand there like little kids
it's
in amazement.
It's the best caramel ever, right?
A can of condensed milk. Mm-hmm. You don't touch the can. You put it in the water and you simmer it.
Yep.
And then it turns inside the can to caramel. You just take it out carefully because it's very hot. Let it cool and then open it with a can opener. And there is caramel inside.
Yeah. And then we poured it into these.
That sounds like magic.
We poured it into these cute mason jars. And then for you, you'd love this, mixed in sea salt.
Ooh.
Oh,
right,
and then there you go.
And now I've got this like fabric thing I'm going to try. I need your help. And everyone will get a little jar for Christmas.
Yeah. So here's what I'm
so
thinking.
Easy to make.
Think what you could do with that caramel. I could toast walnuts and stir those in.
Sure.
I could get chocolate chips and I could stir them into the caramel. There are so many things. I could get anything that crunches that I like and stir it into the caramel.
And I have one more for my baker friends, which I have a lot.
Not fudge. You know,
I don't
fudge,
because I don't bake. So this is the best thing to give to bakers. And that is, so you take vanilla beans. They're a little expensive, but they'll go a long way in this method. And all you do is split them in half. Right. And take a 5-pound bag of sugar and put four vanilla beans in the bag, seal it back up, put it back in your cabinet or whatever. And right before Christmas or Hanukkah, you'll have vanilla sugar, package it up and give everyone a little vanilla sugar.
Yep. And both of those I would reduce down the caramel and the vanilla sugar, reduce that down with some hot water into a simple syrup. And you've got a great addition to like a nice eggnog or a rum cocktail or something.
My
holiday
might as well
thing
make
is
the eggnog or coquito in Puerto Rican culture.
Exactly. That's exactly what I do is mason jar coquitos and my eggnogs.
Am I on that list?
Yes, of course.
Here's my how to make vanilla, homemade vanilla. It is so simple. Just Google this. Don't worry
homemade
about
vanilla.
It is take fresh vanilla beans. They're a little expensive, but one goes a long way. You split it lengthwise. Then you take a knife and you scrape out the guts of that little split thing.
Little seeds.
And you mix it with vodka. Doesn't even have to be expensive vodka.
And you
mix
make your own vanilla
vodka
extract.
That's it. You put the vanilla into the vodka. You heat it up on the stove, which takes the alcohol content out, store it in jars, and there you go. You have vanilla.
That's a great present, too.
But you could use rum
You could, but in case people you're dealing with don't have alcohol or it's for kids or whatever, that's how you do it.
And don't you feel great when you get a gift like that? If you gave me that homemade vanilla,
adorable.
I would cherish it, and every time I used it, I would think of you.
And it's good. Yeah. It's I've got no chemicals. It's absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
Or you can bake a million things, course, and we love to get those gifts. Yeah. And I'm seeing the new thing this year is the electronic ice cubes. They glow when they're in the glass.
Yep.
They're not electric, but there's something inside.
Yeah, it's like a little LED inside. You can find them. They blink all different colors. And
I don't want plastic in my drinks, but some people do.
Yeah. Party in a glass.
Some people want plastic.
But these are all great little ideas for gifts that don't cost a lot of money, and I think that mean more than
if you go to a holiday party and you bring a host or hostess present and you make one of these things, write your name on it so that you know where it came from. Next day, Matt and I always have all this stuff after a Christmas party. You don't know where who made
good
them.
Idea.
Oh, you
so
are
that's where
so
this
right.
labeling thing comes in. So
label it with your name.
Okay, we love the local. Please support your local food growers and food makers for on-demand podcast delivery, meaning this show delivered to you so you can listen on your schedule, and all of our hot topics, our short, fun streaming videos, our online stuff right now at foodschmooze.org. More delicious conversation on a sort tune is next after a quick break.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store.
This is the Food Schmooze Party, offering the richness of life and coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including Westchester County, the East End of Long Island. Of course, that means the Hamptons. The senior producer is Robin Doyon Aiken. To hear this show on WNPR, our station, it airs Thursdays at 3, Saturdays at noon. Podcast, so you can listen anytime you want. That means we send the show to you. And our curated recommendations for all things, recipes, everything, always online at foodschmooze.org. At that site right now, as we talk to this author we love, we have recipes from the book up there. If you want a kind of international spin on your holiday treats with just one ingredient, usually in each case, you can go to a Middle Eastern market and find these things. You can go online and find things such as pomegranate molasses. It is the thing to have in your refrigerator. I swear to you, you will not be sorry. Sumac, I put it on everything. It's practically on my toothbrush. This is like so. Of course, you can talk with us on Facebook too. Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. I am with, as you know, Alex Province, Chris Brusberry, and Anthony DeSario. Let me tell you about our guest. She's a rock star. I mean, she's gotten a James Beard Award as top chef in the Northeast. She is something because she does a kind of fusion where she takes the flavors she knows from the Middle East, particularly turkey, and she puts them into ingredients that we all know. Chris, what do you have to say?
Oh, my God. I'm just sitting here just wanting to say more and more because by far she's my favorite chef in the Northeast. I don't eat anywhere else. I don't even look at what restaurants are in Boston in that area anymore because I have your number on speed dial on my phone because that's how often I eat there because it's just so amazing.
Anna Sortoon, welcome to the Food Schmooze Party.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much for that introduction and I'm really happy to be on the show. I'm so excited and I can feel your enthusiasm. I'm so grateful.
As you will see on our site where we have information about this cookbook, it is called Soframise. S-O-F-R-A-M-I-Z, Soframise. This is a cookbook about vibrant Middle Eastern recipes from Sofra Bakery and Cafe. A quick word, you're going to have to endure this, Anna. So here's Anna, born in Seattle, then goes to La Varenne in Paris and opens a restaurant in Concord, Massachusetts in the 90s, goes to a couple more restaurants in Harvard Square, and then it really begins because she opens Oleana, which is the restaurant that a lot of food people, including me, you know, you just go, you make a beeline.
Heaven on earth.
They make a beeline. People in the food world have called her a culinary genius. She did this book called Spice and then teams up with her business partner, the executive pastry chef, Maura Kilpatrick. They opened this Sofra Bakery and Cafe in Cambridge. And these are foods and baked goods that are influenced by Turkey and Lebanon and Greece and the flavors of those places. So this stuff like pomegranate molasses, sumac, one little thing added to your eggs or your baked goods will send it into the stratosphere. This is what I would call the international chef secrets. We can do this at home too. She goes to Turkey all the time with Old Ways Preservation Trust, an organization I adore because they're interested in preserving things the way they used to be done. Okay, Anna. That's enough bragging.
That was quite an introduction.
We absolutely love you.
I know it. Okay, so here we go. This is something. Do you like hummus? Because we're about to tell you about a hummus that you can make that is staggeringly good. It is called walnut hummus with pomegranate and cilantro. These are eye-popping Middle Eastern flavors. There's something when we on the show have these flavors in combination, we just go crazy.
Yeah.
Such a dance on the tongue. Anna, tell us about how you make this hummus.
There's many different kinds of hummus, right? I think the one that we're most familiar with is the one in the grocery store that is whipped with tahini, lemon, olive oil, and cumin.
Yeah.
But the word hummus in Arabic means chickpeas. So as long as the chickpeas are the focal point of the plate, it can be hummus. And their hummuses are made with tahini, without tahini, served warm, served room temperature, served cold. There's so many different varieties, and there's even hummus that isn't pureed. So it can just be chickpeas that are coated in a tahini sauce, and that also is called hummus. It kind of opens up a world of experiencing hummus in a different way.
In this one, you are calling on us to take dried chickpeas and soak them overnight in water. Is it okay to use your recipe using canned but rinsed chickpeas?
Yes, definitely. Okay. The only drawback to that is that you're going to have a little more sodium than you would have if you were cooking them from scratch. But it will work. The trick to a really creamy hummus is pureeing the chickpeas dry first. So in other words, you don't add the lemon and olive oil and everything right away. You puree them dry until they're really finely chopped and almost completely crumbled or crushed.
Like a cookie dough?
It becomes like a cookie dough when you then start adding a little bit of liquid to it, and it starts to sort of spin around the blade on your food processor and forms like a ball of something that looks like chocolate chip cookie dough without the chocolate chip.
So what you're adding here is the cumin and the lemon juice, a little bit of a liquid if you're soaking the chickpeas, then a little tahini. And what is tahini for people who don't know?
Tahini is just a puree of sesame seeds, so it's like a nut butter would be, but it's made with sesame seeds instead of nuts.
And then you put in oil. It starts to be the consistent. It starts to get creamy, in other words, like mayonnaise.
Exactly. You can always adjust the creaminess by adding a little bit more of the chickpea water or just plain water if you're using canned chickpeas. You want it sort of silky smooth and light, something that's not too heavy, because it's all about the creaminess. You want the contrast between the creamy chickpeas and the crunchy walnuts.
Here, imagine this. Walnuts go on a baking sheet, right? Because they're going to go in the oven. But you're going to melt some butter in a small saucepan. And then what do you do with that butter? You pour it over the walnuts.
No.
You toss them, and they're just bathed in butter, and you're going to roast them in the oven until they're toasted. And then you sprinkle them with pepper and some salt. So here's one of the secret ingredients. This is called maras.
Yeah, maras pepper is also known as Aleppo pepper. So this is a mild, red, oily chili that comes from the southeast of Turkey or Aleppo, Syria. It came to our country, became known as Aleppo, but it's actually not coming from Aleppo anymore.
No, not for a while.
Yeah, so there's a region in Turkey called Maraş where this similar pepper grows, and it's used in the same context. So if you were to take your dried red chili flakes that you have that you often see in a pizza restaurant in a shaker that you shake over cheese pizza, if you were to remove those from your life and add Maraş pepper instead to those shakers and just sprinkle it onto everything, it's life-changing. It's definitely a really sweet vegetal flavor with
not
a little
spicy.
Bit of heat.
Really? That's what should be in our pizza restaurant tables?
Yeah.
That's,
it doesn't have the
so
burn.
Exciting.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the burn,
burn
Chris?
That the red pepper
chili What's the
chili
heat
flakes?
Level on something like that?
Yeah.
It still has heat, and it sort of lifts flavor. Like, you know, we often use it in place of black pepper because it does a similar thing where we don't use it necessarily for the heat, but we use it to lift.
You're going
to
put pomegranate seeds into this dish. So how do you open a pomegranate? Easiest way.
So I split it in half.
Horizontally or?
Horizontally, yeah.
Like at the equator.
Exactly, at the equator. Perfect. And then I hold it in my hand upside down, cut side on my hand, over a bowl, and I take a really heavy wooden spoon, and I just beat the pomegranate, and the seeds fall into my hand, and then I can then drop them into the bowl. Mm. And you get no pith. All the seeds just eventually empty out of the pomegranate. And then you don't need to worry about soaking it, or, you know, a lot of people put it in water to get membranes off, or they quarter it and try to pull all the seeds out. It's so much easier to just tap them out with a wooden spoon, and it only takes a minute to empty a half a pomegranate.
They do stain,
just changed my life right there.
Great, Greg.
They do stain if they get on your white pants or whatever.
So imagine this bowl of this gorgeous hummus. You could add a couple of whole walnuts on the top that are toasted, and they spread up these pomegranate seeds, the cilantro leaves. What a holiday appetizer this is.
It's really lovely when the walnuts are warm, and the walnuts can almost be used as something to scoop the hummus to instead of bread or along with bread.
Okay, and also no double dipping with walnuts. Okay, so we have a woman we love, Anna Sortoon. She and Maura Kilpatrick have done this cookbook called Sofra Mise. And Sofra is the name of their bakery restaurant in the Boston area in Cambridge. And so we are talking about recipes in her book, how to use these Middle Eastern ingredients, which you can get online, you can get in the Middle Eastern market, which we have certainly all over our region, but you can also go to a place like Kalustian's online and get them. You can probably go to Amazon. And by the way, we have that hummus recipe at our website, foodschmooze.org. Chris, you made for us the recipe for green apple fattoush. That is a fancy way of saying a green apple salad. It was knockout delicious.
Yes. Probably
so
one of my favorite salad dressings because
ever.
I mixed those three things together, and I had everyone in my kitchen go, this is why this is my favorite restaurant.
It's
everyone come here and taste this dressing.
What were the
it's
three
only
things?
Three ingredients, and it is mind-blowingly good.
So the three ingredients are
pomegranate molasses, lemon juice, and olive oil.
This is why you have to have a bottle of pomegranate molasses in your refrigerator.
But
if
you're in Hartford, Cosmos is a little store on Farmington Avenue. You can get it there.
But also online, a beautiful resource. Okay, green apple fattoush. Let me run through. We've got pita. We have extra virgin olive oil and salt and romaine lettuce and the pomegranate molasses, lemon juice, peppermint or spearmint leaves, parsley, cucumber, green apple, radishes or turnips, depending on what you can get, black pepper, and sumac. One of my favorite spices. I use it on everything imaginable.
Yeah,
you
I make
will
use
find
tar,
it. It's
too.
In my yogurt. Yeah. It's in my eggs.
It's in my yard.
It's in your yard.
Okay. Anna, you put the pita squares in a mixing bowl and you coat them with olive oil and you're pressing the oil into them.
Yeah, you want to knead the oil in a little. So in order to be crisp, they need to be really well coated, not dripping in oil, not soaked in oil, but just really well coated so that every little chip gets crisp instead of dry.
So you massage the oil in a little bit. It takes a couple minutes with your fingers, and you toast them on a baking sheet. And if you're gluten-free, you can use a gluten-free bread to do exactly the same thing. Chris, what did you do to make the dressing?
You take the pomegranate molasses, pour it into a little bowl, whisk in lemon juice, and then once you get that mixed together, drizzle in the olive oil slowly to make a kind of an emulsion thing, and then it becomes this beautiful dressing.
I think the real kicker is the sumac, though. You're right. I think it's a really bright flavor, and it's a spice you can use with a heavy hand. So instead of using a quarter of a teaspoon like you might if you're using allspice or cloves, you use a whole teaspoon per person almost. And it's really lemony and tart and really bright, but it also has this sort of sun-dried quality to it, like a sun-dried lemon would. Traditionally, in the old days, they would use that spice, sumac, in place of lemon when lemons were out of season. And what really makes fattoush fattoush is the crispy pita and the sumac. That's a real signature on that salad.
Green apple fattoush, I think, great for any holiday, whether it is Hanukkah, whether it is Christmas, New Year's, whatever it might be, beautiful, bright, delicious. I can't resist talking about two things with you. We have this on the website too. For people who are doing make your own holiday present, the sesame cashew bars. These are a cashew kind of crust on top of shortbread and gorgeous. Wow. So on the crust, you've got, of course, flour and butter and brown sugar and salt. Got to have salt in there against the sweetness. Yeah. And then the filling, salted cashews and sesame seeds, butter and sugar, light and brown, and raw honey and heavy cream and vanilla extract. What a thing to make.
Wow.
That recipe is on our website, foodschmooze.org. But let me go, because we're getting into that season. Anna, do you sell this at the restaurant, your tahini hot chocolate?
Oh, yes, we do.
That gets the bell.
Oh, my
Ding.
God.
Here it goes.
Tahini hot chocolate. It's like at the BBC. Wheel in the cart. Mm. So this is an unusual thing to make. Milk chocolate chopped, combine it with bittersweet chocolate and whole milk and salt and sesame seeds, and then the secret ingredient, tahini, which is that sesame paste. How does that work against the chocolate?
So tahini can be tricky because there is a bitterness to it, and chocolate too. So by adding the milk chocolate, sort of balances it out. But the tahini is almost, it's almost like drinking, you know, you imagine chocolate and peanut butter go together
well.
Yeah.
Tahini and chocolate go together so well.
Yeah, oh boy.
If it's the right combination of bittersweet.
Can I say, we do not have the recipe I'm about to talk about on the food site, but if you get the book, you will see it. Soframiz, Soframiz. There's information about the cookbook on our site. There is a recipe in here that I went so wild over that I was ready to walk to Boston to have this. And it is the sausage pita with cumin, orange, and olive oil.
Oh, yeah, they're folded over, too.
Folded over and then cut in strips so that you can put it out on a platter to give to people with pork and allspice and that Marash pepper that Anna has been talking about, oregano and cumin and paprika, the zest of the orange, feta cheese, butter, her special dough, pepperoncini, green olives. honestly, it's better than a pizza. Well, I mean, it's just incredible. Yeah. Anna, is this like a knockout, sellout thing at your restaurant?
Yeah, this is something we've had on the menu at Sofer since we've opened, and it's a really popular item. And what's nice about it is it's rich, but it's not heavy. All of our stuffed flatbreads, you know, in a way they're like pizza, but they don't have a lot of that oily cheese in it, so we use the feta. And also the spices in that mixture, to me, is a quintessential Greek combination.
Yeah.
You
know,
you think of Greek food as being lemon and oregano, but actually they use a lot of cumin, but they balance it with something really bright like orange.
Anna, because I was going to ask you, how would you do this for our gluten-free listeners?
There are some really nice gluten-free flours available from Bob's Mill, and you could try making the same flatbread with the gluten-free flour, and it may work. You may end up with something a little bit thicker with a different texture, but...
Yeah, but I was thinking you could take the gluten-free bread and roll it with a rolling pin. Cut off the crust and just roll it with a rolling pin.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We love talking with you.
Can we make a reservation now while we have her on the phone?
Thank you for being on the show and doing what you do.
You guys are so much fun. I really appreciate it.
You are the best.
Thank you so much.
Anna Sortoon, who is done this cookbook called Sofermis. The recipes we've talked about are on our website. Middle Eastern ingredients mixed with American ingredients to do things that are just knockout. We're on WNPR Thursdays at 3, Saturdays at noon. Weekdays, listen for my 60-second food schmoozes. You know our slogan, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to my.
Thanks for listening to the podcast on your schedule. And when you need a little party in your life, we're here and online all the time at foodschmooze.org. And of course, also on Facebook at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze.